Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for September 19th. September 19th, no, it's getting too far into fall. We get there this week technically, but certainly have enjoyed the last while, slightly cooler temperatures, and just checking, corn roast yesterday? Ooh, it was so good. On several levels, the weather was excellent, about as best as we could get. But the more important thing was the ability to sit across the table and talk to each other and enjoy the time, the fellowship, and simply being together as a community and a community of faith, and just an excellent opportunity for us to be together. A huge thank you to those who helped with that. And I was asked to give a shout out, and I had several people telling me several specifics. And the Vandenberg family, Taya and the youth, and a whole crew of others who were dealing with the corn, and Jim Becknell and his crew who brought the steam engine. And just a wonderful thank you to you for all that work. I'm sure the youth group will have appreciated the support, some funds for them to work with in the coming months, and just opportunities for us as a church, again, to support one another. A little bit further into the service, we look forward to hearing Taya Heim's message, The Season of Hope, based on readings from the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. A number of announcements to get through, and hope you stay with me for this. At the screening doors as you came in, you may have noticed there are limited copies of a printed bulletin working at that, and those intended for those folks who don't get the email bulletin sent to them. So if you get it emailed to you, review it or print it if you need it at home. For those who don't, we're making some copies available, and we'll monitor that as we go along. So that's one note. Just a reminder, Sunday school is taking place downstairs. It began this morning, 9:30, grades 3 to youth in grade 12, and activities and learnings there about God's goodness. Also downstairs, continuing, the library is open. I was told this morning there were a lot of books being returned, which probably means there are books being taken out, and so we're grateful for that ministry to be happening there. Next Sunday, September 26th, we're beginning to restart the German worship services once again. That'll be at 9:15. You're used to a little bit later start. That has to do with us shifting our timetable. I cringe a little bit. I know for a lot of us, our routines are very important. Because it builds consistency into our lives. There are patterns and things and habits that we do based on certain times. We've shifted our time to try and accommodate a wide variety of the needs and ministries happening Sunday morning through the church here. And so if you check the week at a glance, you'll notice pretty well everything has been kind of shifted about a half hour earlier. If you're a little upset about your corner of church timetable Sunday morning, realize it's helped somebody else. And that's been a back and forth discussion church council has had for actually quite a long time. And it was sort of discerned that this time would be a good time to try and make some changes, again, to accommodate as many people as possible. So next Sunday, 9:15 German worship, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 English worship, and we hope that works well for you. Just a reminder once again, while we're indoors as a gathered community, we continue to wear our masks and keep our distance, and we do that for the safety of those around us. Many of you are aware of the Westview Christian Fellowship that meets on Queen Street in St. Catharines. That's a Mennonite Church Eastern Canada congregation, and they have a significant ministry called the Westview Center for Women. And if you think about this, navigating the city for cars is one thing, but if you don't have a vehicle, it's quite another. And so a lot of the folks who are part of the Westview Center for Women don't have cars, and so they're either bicycling or walking. And as a result of that, some of the organizers have held something called a Niagara Glow Riders event. And what that is, a glow ride event, is a leisurely nighttime bike ride with bicycles decked out with lights and glow sticks. And it's about promoting active activity and safe transportation. They're doing a glow ride this Friday, September 24th, 8 p.m., just as it gets dark, corner of St. Paul and Garden Park. And if you are interested in that, check the Westview Center for Women website or Instagram. There are postings there about information. Another important community ministry that we as a church have been part of is the community care donation bins for dry good food items. And this ministry is shared by local churches and organizations to support others. There are bins in the foyer, and you're invited to drop off donations as you are able. Lots of other announcements in the bulletins, and so please take note of those as we have opportunity. This morning for our call to worship, I'll be reading from Psalm 130. Psalm 130 is a song of lament. It begins with the cry of an individual who is desperate for hope. The individual is praying this prayer, and they are also aware of others and the desire of the community to be restored and serve the Lord. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we with reverence can serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you know our longings to be restored. We long to be restored to family, to our community, and during this pandemic that has dragged on for so long, we've become very aware of our limitations. Limitations of health, limitations of being together as family and community. Restore us, O God. Restore us with hope for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Restore us with care and compassion that seeks the good and well-being of our neighbors. Guide our thoughts and reflections during this time of worship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we do what we can to protect the health of others this morning, while we sit at a distance from each other and continue wearing our masks, I am glad to be able to invite you to share in singing. And so Marian, Marianne, and Trudy will lead us. Please join in.
Power and love, our God is an awesome God.
Thank you. At this time, yet we are still not passing the offering bags for your sharing of your tithes and offerings, and remind you there are baskets in the foyer, and we deeply appreciate your support for the financial ministries of needs of the church. I was called and informed early this morning that Agatha Giesbrecht from our church has passed away this morning. Agatha's made transition a short while ago to the Heidehof home, and obviously declined in health. And so our prayers are with her family and the Giesbrecht family, and also the Dick family during this time. Obviously, funeral arrangements will be pending, but we'll try and spread the word as soon as that's known. Invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you are merciful. You give blessings to sustain us. You give us warning when we make poor choices. Your care and compassion is evident in our call to faith, in our call to right relationships. And you call us to act justly, to love mercy. You invite us to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. You invite us to be a community of faith, to support one another with loving kindness. It's easy for us to do this with each other. We're also reminded to extend that same grace, mercy, and kindness to strangers. Help us to be a community of faithful witness to others. Gracious God, we pray for those who have health needs, who, for some, especially as they lie on their bed with pain or illness, for those who await treatments or tests and live with the anxiety of what will happen next. We pray for your strength. We pray for opportunities to express your compassion. This morning we pray for the Giesbrecht family mourning the loss of mother, grandmother, and for many a friend. God, we're also aware of our healthcare workers in the community and across the province, across the country, people who have worked under stressful conditions in a particular way through this pandemic. We pray for their well-being as well. Gracious God, we also are aware of our nation's election tomorrow, and we ask for your wisdom and guidance as we go to cast votes for those who are allowing their names to stand, for those who will be elected. May your grace and mercy work in and through them with all wisdom and understanding for the support and well-being of us as a country. And now we pray for your witness of compassion for all people as we seek to be people of faith in our community here at North End St. Catharines and to the wider world. For all these things, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite Marian and Marianne and Trudy. Rocky, I forgot you. Quiet in the background, and yet when he's not there, I miss the guitar. So. Thank you. Sorry to have missed you.
You only get one note for an introduction on this next song. I hope you're ready.
Jesus, hope of the nations.
Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, This morning I'll be reading from Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Good morning. Let us join together in a word of prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for this morning and for the gift that this day is to us. We ask that you bless the reading of your word, and may you open our hearts to that which you would have us hear. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, many of you may know, or have probably heard through the grapevine, my husband John and I have recently purchased our first home, and we are very thankful to finally have a place to call our own. This past August, we celebrated our fourth wedding anniversary, so it has felt like a long road to get to our very own home. Our first place was a cozy little basement apartment in Beamsville, and it was very special to me because it was where we started our new lives together as husband and wife, but it wasn't ours. There were young children and dogs living upstairs, so it didn't exactly give us a quiet, calm atmosphere. We had to ask for permission from our landlords to do certain projects around the apartment. We weren't as close to our work and our families as we would have liked. And I had a very strong desire to have a full-size vegetable garden in my backyard, and I couldn't have that in an apartment. And so we were very much wanting our own place. After being there just under 1 year, we decided it was time to start looking to buy a home of our own. Well, long story short, that proved to be quite the task, which obviously rendered itself unsuccessful. Being consistently outbid, being one of 30 plus offers, sometimes not even getting the chance to see a listing because of the rapid rates that things were selling, it was clear that a home was not in the cards for us at the time. Now, I like to consider myself a positive person. I really try to see the positive side, and I make a conscious effort to look for God's guidance when things don't go exactly the way I planned. But if you ask John, I feel as though he would have something else to say of my reaction. I was pretty frustrated, and I'm sure I wasn't all that pleasant to be around at the time. I wasn't used to having such a total lack of control of a situation, and it threw me right off. I felt we were ready, We had confirmation from the bank that we were ready, and I could see no reason why we shouldn't buy a home at the time. I wanted to start our life, and I wanted a house right now. And when I look back at myself, I laugh and I laugh, and then I apologize to John again, and then I laugh and I laugh again some more. After that first failed attempt at becoming homeowners, we decided, along with my parents' guidance, that it would be beneficial for us to move into the basement apartment in their home, to continue to be able to save up as much money as possible, to set us up for success when we would try to buy a home again in a few months. We would be close to church and our work and our families, and we were and still are very close to my parents, so it seemed like a wonderful solution, bar my feelings of hopelessness. Well, I'm sure we can all see where this is going. 2 years and 6 months later, and after another one or two failed attempts at purchasing a home, I was quite convinced that John and I would be living in my parents' basement for the rest of our lives. Throughout that time of waiting, I kept asking, why? There has to be a reason why. Why are we not getting this thing that we so desperately want? And I even tried to justify and bargain with him that it really was the right time, as if I got to, you know, control those things. But as months became years, there were times that it felt like I had no hope left. It seemed like this completely insurmountable roadblock. It's just not possible, I would think. It's too difficult. There's too much competition. It's just never going to happen. But I can vividly remember it was a Sunday in early March of this year, and we were at the church that we were attending at the time, and there was a new song in the service that I hadn't heard before called Your Will Be Done. And I encourage you to YouTube it and listen to it because it's a beautiful song. I believe it's by the band City Alight, and it's called Your Will Be Done, and it's beautiful. I heard the words sung, and I read the words on the screen, and I just started to tear up. And then I couldn't see the screen because it was all teary, so then I was just sitting listening to it, crying in the back, making a scene. But anyways, the first verse is, Your will be done, my God and Father, as in heaven, so on earth. My heart is drawn to self-exalting. Help me seek your kingdom first. As Jesus walked, so I shall walk, held by your same unchanging love. Be still, my soul. Oh, lift your voice and pray. Father, not my will, but yours be done. I realized that I was being so short-sighted. I had been so focused on what I thought was right, that when things didn't happen that way, I just gave up hope. And hearing those words was the exact reminder that I needed. Right. This isn't my plan. This isn't about me, and I am holding on to this so tight, and I need to let go of it, and I need to give it back to you. I need to remember that you know the plans that you have for me and for us. Plans to give us hope and a future. And it totally changed my frame of mind. And all of a sudden, it's hard to believe, but all of a sudden that week, things started falling perfectly into place. This past March, we decided to start looking again at homes, and one thing led to another. And 2 weeks later, almost to the day, our offer was accepted. And 1 month later, we found ourselves with keys in hand, walking into our first home for the very first time. And it was the most amazing feeling. Looking back at past Taya, I not only see the error of her ways, but I'm also sad for her. There was a lot of beauty in that season of waiting, and though it wasn't all entirely lost on me, I let myself lose hope. If we had purchased a home when we had originally wanted some years ago, We obviously didn't know what this past year and a half would have brought. With all the restrictions and lockdowns, it would have meant months and months apart from my family. My gran, who's 91 years old, she lives with my parents too. It was a very full house, let me tell you. It was cozy when we were all together, but we wouldn't have been able to see them in order to keep everyone safe and healthy. So out of default, the five of us were bubbled together, and though it was a difficult time, as it was for all of us, we were given the gift of sharing a lot of time together. Like a lot of time together, but it was time and memories that I would not trade for the world, and I'm very thankful for them. So our reading from Jeremiah 29 this morning, specifically verse 11, is one that is very familiar to many of us, I'm sure. Keychains, mugs, and many an illustrated plaque don the words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And yes, it is an encouraging text. We have it in our home as well. It's in a box right now, but it was hanging in our living room, and I look forward to hanging it again. It has given me a lot of comfort over the years, but there's so much more to it than that. So much more to this verse, and I think it can be a disservice to the author when we don't consider the surrounding verses and just merely pick out these now well-known words. The beginning of chapter 29 states that this text is of a letter that Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to those of whom were exiled by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. So right away, these verses are seen in a totally different light. This is a very heavy situation. This is suddenly off the wall in my living room, and we are with a very hurt and hurting people. So it can seem a little odd now that this verse would be on a plaque or a pen when it is meant for a hurt and exiled people. It wouldn't be accurate to just pick out this verse and take it for what it is and have a surfacey interpretation and say that it's all just about us here in 2021. It's not all about us, but it is certainly for us. In verse 4, we read that God himself is the one who put the Israelites into exile. It reads, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So this changes the dynamic once again. Because of their unwillingness to obey and listen to the Lord, he has given them a time of correction. And I can't imagine the feeling, hearing those words from God, the confirmation and knowing the weight of the wrongdoing of the people, realizing what lies ahead, I'm sure is not something to look forward to. From verses 5 to 9, God is encouraging them and the way they are to live, to build homes and get married, settle down and have a family, to seek peace and prosperity of the city that he has exiled them to. He wants them to acclimate to their surroundings and do what they can to support it and encourage it themselves. We hear in verse 10, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, 70 years, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. I will come to you." For those that had been faithful and devoted, we can only imagine the soothing balm that that would have been to hear. Now, it certainly doesn't diminish the magnitude of the 70-year wait, but knowing that the Lord would be coming to you would be such needed words. It's affirmation that this exile, this hopeless feeling situation, was working for their spiritual good. And it began for them a season of hope. And then our well-known verse 11, God saying he knows the plans he has for the people, that he is giving them a hope and a future. And verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you know that feeling when you read scripture over the years and you learn it and you understand it and you know it, you've maybe even memorized it, and then one day you read a verse you've probably read hundreds of times, and all of a sudden it looks brand new to you, like you've never read it before, and it has a brand new meaning? That was this verse for me. You will call on me, I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I think it's so beautiful that this promise comes with an encouragement to the Israelites and to us to pray. God is longing to hear from us and have relationship with us and spur us into prayer. Yes, the Israelites were disobedient, so much so that they were sent to live in exile. But there is such strong promise of renewal and hope from the Lord. When they sought him with their whole heart, they would find God. And that is a promise that I am so thankful that rings true for us even today. As we read, God desires for us to seek him with our hearts, showing us his desire to have a deep and strong relationship with us in the core of our being. And it is there that we will find him. At our first night of Kids Club this past Thursday, we were talking about prayer, coincidentally enough, and how excited God is when we pray because he wants to know us and be in our lives. And we did a little science experiment. It was just little Alka-Seltzer tablets dropped in sparkling water, but it causes a fizz and it overflows and it's very exciting. And we did the experiment twice, and the second time we all had to be very quiet and listen to the reaction of the two ingredients together and to hear it. And so we listened to the popping of the fizz, which was telling us that those two ingredients put together create a really cool sight to see. And yes, it was a teaching point that God loves to hear from us when we pray to him and when we seek him with our whole hearts. But it is just as important that we get quiet and listen closely and carefully to what he has to say to us in return. These past 18 months have certainly been filled with opportunities to practice being hopeful and continuing to have hope, even during drastic situations. We hoped to see our families once again, face to face. We hoped to be able to return to our worship services in person. We hoped to go back to work. I really hoped to go shopping at HomeSense once again with my mom, but John was quite okay with that, waiting a little while. We hoped to be able to sing together in church again, which we were able to do this morning, which was so special. This removing, though, of what we were comfortable with and used to reminded us of what our priorities are. And even outside of COVID, putting that aside, I probably referenced that COVID too much, but we've all had some type of situation in our lives that has reminded us of what is important, what is worthy of our focus, what is essential, and what is a priority. Jack Lee writes, "Our suffering forces us to let go of idols and seek God above all else. When everything else is taken away, all we have is the Lord." We can be so short-sighted. As human beings, we see what is in front of us, focusing on what is happening to and around us, and it can be difficult for us to see further and the big picture. We are too finite to be able to know what God is doing in and through us and our lives. There are so many things, we may only be able to recognize a handful of them. In the seasons of life when we are faced with inconvenience and struggle, hardship and loss, it is all too simple for us to ask God why and lose sight of the hope that comes from God. But as a people, we find ourselves in a season of hope. It isn't all sunshine and rainbows quite yet, but things are changing. As I said, we sang together this morning, and that in and of itself makes me want to jump for joy. That felt like a very hopeless thing for many, I'm sure. But when we are able to call upon him and seek him with our whole hearts, which is not always easy, but most certainly necessary, we are reminded that his plans are good. Plans to prosper and not to harm, plans for hope and a future. I appreciate the message interpretation of our reading this morning, but specifically verses 13 and 14. It says, "When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it." At the end of the day, when we take away our luxuries and our necessities, our comforts and all the in-betweens, when it's merely us at the end of the day, the one thing that we are left with is God. And in God, we have hope. We can count on it. Amen.
Thanks for that reminder, Taya, of hope. It sounds so easy, but it really is easy to lose hope. And this is a good start coming out of the pandemic to sing together, to have our kids club again, to have our corn roast together. It's all such wonderful, positive steps forward. Let's stay safe to continue that trend. So I remind you all to keep your masks on while we're singing, please. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today. It was wonderful to have the opportunity to worship together. Before our benediction, just a reminder that the ushers will lead us in our going out from here. I think we start on the right side. Is that right? Well, my right, your left. This side, is that right? At the back, moving forward, and then we'll move on to the other side. Is that right? Did I do that right? Okay. Let us end our time together with these words of encouragement and challenge, another verse from the song, "Your Will Be Done." "As we go forth, our God and Father, lead us daily in the fight, that all the world might see your glory and your name be lifted high. And in this name we overcome, for you shall see us safely home. Now, as your church, we lift our voice and pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And now, as you go from this place, may you go in the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.